Finally this week, some of the produce from Nature's own news team. It's time for the News Chat, and not only do we have Chief News and Features Editor Oliver Morton here with us, hi Ollie.
Hiya.
But also reporter Lucas Lawson. Hi Lucas.
Hi.
Now first up, this.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
That was Mission Control counting down the launch of Saturn V, the rocket that took Apollo 11 to the moon 40 years ago next month. Lucas, you've masterminded a way for us to relive the mission in real time.
Yeah, we'll be running a real-time chronology using Twitter, which is the short-form messaging service. We plan to follow both the science and the publicity building up around the moon mission for the next month. And then during the mission, we'll have even more activity. We'll be following what the astronauts are doing on board the ship, what they're doing on the surface. We'll have links out to audio clips, video, to NASA resources, old newspapers, and it'll taper down after the mission to let people know a little bit about what came out of the Apollo 11 moon landings.
So new technology, an old space mission. What's been happening so far? Because you started about a week ago, is that right?
Yeah, so far the astronauts are still in their training phase, so they're practicing lunar landings. They had a certain number of hours they were expected to do, and NASA wanted them to hit their schedule. They've also been doing things like fueling up the rocket, which at 360 feet or so high required a lot of fuel, and it took 5 days to fuel up. I think they finished that today, 40 years ago.
And, you know, do a bit of kind of retro telepathy for us. What are you looking forward to in the next month?
Well, at the same time that the Americans were preparing for their manned lunar landing, the Soviets were trying to prepare robotic landings, and so they were testing their rockets, one of which exploded just after launch. The U.S. also tried to arrange a dinner between the President Nixon and the astronauts, but at the last minute, NASA pulled out, worried about the health quarantine on the astronauts.
I think something that's fascinating about the project that Lucas is taking through for us is that the moon landings were, in sort of like media studies terms, you know, the definition of a modern media event, of something that happened one-off on television. And it's there's a sort of like coolness and an irony to revisiting it using a completely different medium and trying to express things about it in the 140-character limit of a tweet on Twitter. And so we're using one of our blogs here at Nature to add a bit of depth to that. But it's fascinating to me just to see how it can integrate into your life. If you are the sort of person who tweets and Twitters, you just get these little bursts of news from the past. And it's quite addictive. It's very strange. When we first talked about it, I had no sense of quite how cool it would become, how well it would integrate into sort of like the flow of life. It's like having a little window into the past.
Is it proving popular?
Yeah, it is proving quite popular. I mean, if you take the standards of current unmanned moon missions, we currently have about half as many followers as one of the NASA missions that launched this week. And I think there's every chance, not least if everyone in this, listening to the podcast goes and starts following at Apollo Plus 40 on Twitter, there's every chance that that we could grow a fair bit more before the launch. And that's one of the nice things about Twitter, the sense of being something, of seeing people repeating the tweets, sending them around friends. I think it's it gives a really nice sense of event to the commemoration of something that really was very important.
Now, Ollie, you mentioned that this Twitter feed coincides with some new moon missions that are starting or have started this week.
The Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, NASA's first mission back to the moon for some time, as I speak to you, just gone into orbit around the moon and seems to be doing very well. And a companion mission called LCROSS is, I think, swinging past the moon as we talk and will eventually crash into the moon most spectacularly. And in Washington, people have been talking about the longer-term question of when, how, and by what means to send people back to the moon. There's a new commission on the future of human spaceflight in the United States, which is run by Norm Augustin, who used to be the CEO of Lockheed Martin. His panel on the future of human spaceflight has started taking evidence this week, and we have a story about that in the news section.
Okay, thanks, Ollie. Now, we like a bit of music here on the podcast, and Lucas, your next story is quite musical, isn't it?
Yeah, we have a new paper in Nature this week reporting a series of flutes that seem to be 5,000 years older than the oldest flutes found in Europe, which were about 30,000 years old to begin with. These flutes were made out of bones and ivory coming from mammoths and vultures.
And these were found in the same cave system in Germany that the Venus of Holofels that we reported on the podcast a couple of weeks ago was also found in.
Yes, they were found. In fact, one of them was found just 70 centimeters away from the Venus.
So this is basically the same group of humans responsible.
That's right. And that's why the archaeologists around this group, led by Nicholas Conard, think that this is an important find. It shows that the same group of people had both symbolic art carving, and they also had relatively sophisticated music. These flutes had up to 5 finger holes on them. And so while the music on its own doesn't say very much, it's part of a bigger cultural package that indicates that the people who occupied that cave 35,000 years ago were bringing in modern human behaviors and traits. If these people had a modern human collection of behaviors and traits and possibly stronger social networks, archaeologists suggest that that means they might have had advantages that would have helped them to replace or possibly simply compete with the Neanderthals who were already in Europe at the time.
Competing with the Neanderthals armed with flutes. Do you think the music was really that bad?
I don't know. Let's have a listen.
So that clip was what the flute would have sounded like. That was a musician playing a reconstruction of the original flute. Okay, thanks to Lucas and Ollie. And all those stories are at nature.com/news. More crucially, relive the Apollo 11 mission with only 40 years of delay on Twitter. Search for Apollo plus 40. That's Apollo, P-L-U-S-4-O, all one word, and follow.